I hope you don't get tired of me holding forth every Sunday. If you do, there is a remedy. You are to send a chain letter to six other parishes that are tired of their priest as well. Then you bundle up your priest and send him to the church at the bottom of the list. In 1 week, you will receive 1,643 priests, and one of them will be perfect. And you need to have faith in this remedy because one church broke the chain and they got their old priest back in less than 3 weeks. That really is apropos of nothing, except to say that one of the things that I do when I sit down and put my thoughts together for the week is read the writings of the church fathers on a given passage. The fathers, of course, are the great bishops and theologians of about the first 6 centuries of the church's existence. They're not only a great source of ideas, but it's also a way that I can ensure that what comes out of my mouth every Sunday morning is not just my personal opinion, but is what has been believed by all Christians everywhere and at all times. Theology is not an area where we want to be original. Now, one of the things that the fathers point out is that in the Old Testament, the vine is a figure for Israel. And in contrast to the disobedient and unfruitful vine of Israel, Jesus calls himself the true vine, which together with the branches constitutes the new Israel, the fruitful people of God, the church. The image of vine and branches teaches us some very important truths about our Lord's relationship to the church and his relationship with individual Christians. First of all, it teaches that we are united with Christ and that union is real and that union is intimate. The image here is of branches growing out of the vine, of Christians growing out of Christ. And in fact, all Christians are grafted into Christ. At baptism, you and I were made part of Christ. We put on Christ. A Christian is not just an admirer of Jesus' teaching, is not just a follower of Jesus, but is a little Christ. I noticed the cleaning ladies around the church who speak Spanish call me Padrecito, or little father. But that's what Christians are. We are little Christs, and that's what the word Christian means. St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life?" Our union with Christ is that intimate. What happens to him happens to us. And that is especially important to remember during Easter time, because when Jesus burst forth from the tomb on the big bang of Easter morning, he didn't do so only to flex his own spiritual muscles, but that we too might be raised from the dead. An intimate union. It's also a real union. Being a Christian does not depend on whether you feel like a Christian on any given day. God save us from the tyranny of feeling. Being a Christian is an ontological state. That is to say, we are in our very being grafted onto the vine and a little Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. So union with Christ. Secondly, the figure of the vine and branches means not only union, but also communion. In the Catholic tradition, of which Anglicanism is a part, being saved is not a moment in time. There may be a definite beginning, a conscious decision to follow Jesus and as Master and Lord. But that's only a beginning. St. Paul says we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Salvation is a process. It is a pilgrimage, if you will. Now, in baptism, we were raised from the level of nature to the level of supernature. We put on Christ, we are grafted into the vine. But in order for that graft to take, in order for it to be strong and healthy, it must abide or dwell in the vine. There must be communion with the vine, receiving strength and nutrients. Life flows from the true vine into the branches, and this life is the grace of God. Baptismal grace has to be refreshed and renewed and fed, just like a branch must receive constant nourishment from the vine. Let me switch metaphors for a minute. If I were to hold in my hand a light bulb, not only would I look stupid, but I could hold it all day and not a single gleam would emit from that light bulb. Why? Because it is not attached to an outside power source. And it's the same with us. We need an outside power source. Jesus warns us that the way to heaven is narrow and difficult. And if we rely on our own strength, we will falter and fail. We need power from on high. We need God's grace. And you know from Sunday school what the sources of that grace are. Among them, prayer, our speaking to God, God speaking to us, reading of Scripture, where God reveals His Word to us, in the sacraments, which are sure and certain means whereby God gives us His grace. And it is above all in the sacrament of the Eucharist that we receive Christ Himself. He dwells in us and we in Him. And every communion is an opportunity to receive God's grace. It is like a way station on our pilgrimage to heaven. The day's food for the day's march. So in Holy Communion, rivers of grace are poured into the dry, parched land of our souls. We receive Jesus Himself. And I need Jesus. I mean, can I say that? It's not a very independent thing to say, is it? I don't like to admit that I am needy. I like to do everything possible to achieve my self-sufficiency. But I need Jesus. I am sin sick, and I cannot make it alone. Every communion received in repentance and faith is a receiving of the life of Jesus Himself, a further opportunity to grow in grace and one step closer to heaven. Every communion missed, on the other hand, is an opportunity lost. And we ought not to be careless about things eternal. I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. Union and communion. And lastly, this abiding, this communion is not a static thing, but rather something vitalizing and dynamic. The branch that receives nutrition from the vine grows in health. It flourishes. It becomes luxuriant in fruit. And growth is normative also for the Christian. We ought to be excited about our faith. We ought to express that excitement in the way we worship, in the way we live our life. We ought to be moving forward. In fact, if we're not moving forward, we're falling backward. Because every living thing, be it a person or a vine, is either growing or dying. The Christian who receives nourishment from the vine, he or she bears much fruit, fruit that ironically is usually visible to others before it is visible to ourselves. And I could tick off for you an outline of those. An increase in love. An increase in forgiveness. An increase in patience. An increase in obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, we just heard Jesus say. An increase in faith. An increase in good works, because as St. James reminds us, faith without works is dead. An increase in sacrifice, dying to self, living to God and our neighbor. Not my will, but thy will. Just examples. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, says Jesus. And these are not just words to admire. They're not just words to study. They are indeed words to live. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed. Affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God.